journalist. Chiro, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're talking cars with Chiro today. If you've got a motoring question, you can phone in on 021-446-0567. Send an SMS to 31567 or leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. We're going to start with a new car review, but Chiro, this is it's not a new name. The Toyota Starlet, hasn't that been around for decades?
Yeah, from the mid-70s until the 1999 in Japan, Toyota manufactured various generations of the Starlet. Then the name was retired, and they've just brought it back. And it's actually been quite a good move, in my opinion. So what happened was the Etios, which was manufactured in India, for some reason they stopped manufacturing it. So Toyota South Africa couldn't get their hands on new ones anymore.
Okay.
And I'm personally not sad about that at all. Toyota and Suzuki struck a deal in last year, about March 2019, to share some development costs and even share some vehicles, ready-made vehicles that were already on the road. So overseas, you can now buy a RAV4 badge as a Suzuki. In South Africa, you can now buy a Suzuki Baleno badge as the Toyota Starlet.
And tell us a little bit more about the car.
Sure. So the Baleno was always a very good car. It just didn't get a lot of attention because Suzuki mostly sells the Swift, which is a little bit cheaper and does kind of 90% of what the Baleno does. So most South African motorists, when walking into a Suzuki dealership, walk out with a Swift, and the Baleno just kind of never really got the attention that I think it deserves. I always think it's been a very decent car at a very, very good price point.
Okay.
So Toyota have literally taken the Baleno and changed the badge. There's a subtle change to the front grille, and they're offering some different wheels for it, but that is literally it. The car is identical to a Suzuki Baleno. But here's the clincher. The Toyota sort of spec for spec is 17,000 Rand cheaper than the Baleno, which is quite interesting. And I suppose Toyota's just got a fair amount of muscle in terms of volume that they can import. They also have import credits, which they get for manufacturing in South Africa, which Suzuki don't get. So that's what's probably contributed to that price difference. But there is quite a key difference in the warranty. So at the moment, Suzuki will sell you a Baleno with a 5-year, 200,000-kilometer warranty and a 4-year service plan, whereas you only get a 3-year service plan and a 3-year warranty in the Starlet. Now you can increase that warranty when you purchase the car from Toyota. You can take it up to a 5-year, but then you'll probably take the price close to the Baleno, so that saving will then be lost. Yeah.
Okay. And you say 17,000 Rand cheaper. What sort of price ranges are we looking at here, Chiro?
So the entry-level Starlets will set you back 204,900 Rand. Entry-level Baleno is 221,900. If you want to go up to something, for instance, with a touchscreen, then you need to go up to about 235,000 Rand in the Starlet. Then you get quite a nice fancy interior. If you go up even one more model to 258, then you get, for instance, a keyless entry with a start-stop button, which is quite a nice touch, and a leather steering wheel, which is also quite a nice touch as well. That being said, the Starlet makes an enormous amount of sense. It really does. I'm driving one right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the same car as the Baleno. The engine is particularly fuel efficient, probably one of the most efficient petrol engines on the market. Don't expect fireworks from it. It is quite underpowered. But I think these days, South Africans are probably more interested in fuel
efficiency. Saving money on the fuel,
than outright power, yeah.
The other key thing to talk about is safety features. Chiro, I know it's always a deal breaker for you. How does this one rate?
Quite good, yeah. You're looking at ABS and EBD, which is electronic brake force distribution, and also vehicle stability control, which is something the drum I bang pretty often. Mm-hmm. I think it's an important car feature. I really do. Only two airbags, but then you would have only got two airbags in the Baleno as well. Let me just quickly, I'm on the cars that has a comparison tool. Let me just quickly see if you go up a model. Yeah, so if you go up to the XR, which will set you back 258, then you are looking at six airbags, including curtain airbags. So if you are particularly interested in that aspect of the vehicle. If you shell out a little bit more, you're looking at three times the airbags there. Yeah.
Okay, thanks so much. So it is the Toyota Starlet, available from as little as 204,000 Rand if you are in the market. And thanks for the recommendation, Chiro. With that, we open the lines for your questions. And we're going to start with an email that came in during the week from our listener, Anne in Wynberg. And Chiro, we can't seem to get away from the shuddering cars at the moment. Last week, it was the Renault Sandero. This week, it's a 2015 Ford Figo. And Anne says she recently noticed a vibration when she's driving at round about 85 or 90 kilometers. An hour. And this happened a few weeks after the new front tires were purchased. She took the car back to have the wheels rebalanced, but that doesn't seem to have made any difference. Finally, two new tires fitted on the car as well, which made some difference, but now the vibration is back. What can I have done? Is that vibration potentially dangerous and something she should be worried about? She's asking.
Depending on the severity, not necessarily dangerous, but definitely something that needs to get sorted out. So, without being able to experience the car myself, I suppose we could just look at a bunch of options of what it could be. I would have said potentially my first thing would have been wheel balancing, but I assume she went to a competent wheel fitment center and they sorted that out. So let's maybe rule that out. They changed the tires. It seems they changed the tires for her as well, which rules out potentially a roundness issue. You know, sometimes if there's a defect in the manufacturing of the tire, it's not completely round. And you then potentially have issues like, say, a vibration or a sort of a shudder at high speed. But I think we can rule that out, seeing as a whole new set has gone on. And I think two sets of tires having the same defect is potentially quite rare. If she doesn't say that it happens under braking, which would then mean that it's probably the discs. So she says the car's about 5 years old. So I would think potentially what could be happening, if assuming the shadow is only under braking, that the discs are a little bit warped. So they either need to be replaced or skimmed. That can be assessed at a brake disc specialist. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but there are companies out there that specialize in this sort of thing. So they'll assess the disc for how much is left on it and whether it can be safely skimmed. If that's the case, then a skimming is usually cheaper than replacing the discs outright. So I would say that would be the next port of call, have the discs assessed and see if that sorts the issue out. After that, then it would need to be assessed, I suppose, by, you know, a good mechanic who could maybe look at the sort of the swing arms, the steering rack, all of those sort of mechanical pieces which could potentially be causing the shudder.
Okay, thanks so much. So it's a lot of variables in the answer, Anne, but I hope that's given you at least a direction to head in as you try and get that sorted out, and good luck to you. The next question coming in on the WhatsApp line from Anonymous, wondering, is there an equivalent to the Ford Bantam in South Africa?
Yeah, the only one left that you can buy new is the Nissan NP200. And I think this topic has come up on our segment quite often in that, motorists looking for good half-ton buckies. And there used to be a time in South Africa where you had an absolute plethora to choose from. There was a Fiat-made one. There was a company called Proton. There was the Ford Bantam, the Nissan MP200, the Opel Corsa Utility, which was a really fantastic little car. And they're all gone. For some reason, manufacturers don't seem to think there's a business case there to keep those cars in the market. So, your only choice is the Nissan NP200, but if you're going secondhand, then all of those ones I've just mentioned, you'll find them in sort of various states, still running around the roads and on Gumtree and on our sites as well. So perhaps worth looking for a good secondhand one.
Okay, thanks a lot. Next question has come in as a voice note. Let's take a listen.
Hi, Papa. Can you ask Chiro, an affordable 7-seater, please? Thanks, man.
Affordable 7-seater. Affordability means different things to different people. But Chiro, what are the lower-priced 7-seaters available on the market?
So you're looking at the segment which is, in terms of sales, pretty much ruled by the Toyota Avanza, but that's probably my least favorite car in the segment.
Really?
You're sort of in terms of price point, going up from price point, you've got the Suzuki Ertiga. the Toyota Rush and the Honda BRV. I don't think I'm forgetting any of them. The Ertiga is by far the best value. I mean, it's sort of, if I'm not mistaken, sort of 60 to 70,000 Rand cheaper than anything else. I mean, you're getting a very bare bones car at that point, but you're also getting a very reliable car with a very good warranty as well. So that's a good starting point. Something a bit more luxurious, easier to live with, a bit more comfortable would be the Honda BRV. I'd recommend that over the Toyota Rush personally, but the Toyota badge just carries so much weight. You know, I think a lot of people buy into the badge blindly almost because of the fantastic reputation that it's got, and also the fact that Toyotas just don't depreciate as much as any of the other brands, perhaps outside of Volkswagen. Yeah. So that's the shopping list, so to speak, in that segment of the market.
Okay, so on affordability, the Suzuki Ertiga wins hands down for whoever it was who sent that voice note. I hope that gives you some direction. Thanks a lot. Interesting to get some feedback on the SMS line from someone who says, I've just bought the top range Baleno 2 weeks ago and I'm loving it around town. So that's the Suzuki version of what is now the Toyota Starlet. Right, got it. Yeah. Very confusing.
Yeah. But it's a car that makes an enormous amount of sense. You know, yesterday I flew in from Joburg, got back from the airport, and we had a bunch of suitcases with us. And I mean, we had one of those full-size suitcases, you know, it's one like a coffin almost. And that just slips into the back of the Baleno, which is really impressive. I mean, it's difficult to get those suitcases into, say, like, you know, Volkswagen Golfs, the modern ones. So I really like that. And also just the sort of the solidity of the car, the ride comfort, the way it cruises on the highway, it behaves and performs like a car which costs sort of twice as much. And I really like that about that car.
Great comment. Thanks, Tira, and enjoy the drive to the Baleno owner. Okay, the next one is one of those questions which is evergreen, and we get it every year, several times a year, usually when people are trying to make decisions about where their student children are going next year. Tira, the question is, I'm looking for a first car for our daughter. She's going to be driving between Cape Town and Stellenbosch every day. We're needing to buy secondhand under 100,000.
Ah, I was about to say, just buy a Baleno or a Starlet, and there we go. It's the end of the conversation. Actually, you know, in saying that, I wonder, I mean, I'm on Cars@Koza right now. If I quickly go to used cars, let me see if I can do this exercise for us quickly. And let's see what Suzuki Balenos are trading for these days. And because the thing is, the thing that interested me there about what the particular use case was for this listener was that there's long distance.
Yes.
And what I like about the Suzukis is that their incredible fuel consumption. I very rarely encounter cars which use less fuel than Suzuki. So the cheapest Baleno we've got on the site is a 2017 with 79,000 on the clock, going for 119,000. You know, you walk into a dealership and you say, hello, can we do it for 110, 105 even? I mean, you'll probably walk out with it at 110, which is not far off the budget that was proposed by the listeners. So it is possible to get into one of these cars. And personally, I feel confident buying a three-year-old Baleno. I mean, as I've said many times on the show, I run a Suzuki Sierra as a Uber car, and that thing is just, is just an absolute trooper. Yeah. It just keeps going. So I think that's some fairly solid advice there. Maybe start off trying to find one of those. Anything in the Suzuki stable, though, in my opinion, is a good buy. So if you can find, you'll definitely find a Swift at under 100,000 if you want to try there. But for me, the usual suspects, I think we spoke about it on the show where someone asked around the 80,000 price figure, which if I'm not mistaken, it was podcasted on CapeTalk.co.za.
It was the most popular article and podcast of the last 6 months, I think, when we posted that show. It was obviously information that a huge number of people were looking for.
Yeah. So maybe it's a good idea to have a listen to that as well, because the advice would remain the same. You know, if you're shopping at 80,000 and you're looking at those cars, then if you're shopping at 100,000, you can just get younger versions of those cars with less mileage. So the shopping list remains the same, but you can potentially get a slightly younger car with less mileage.
Okay, hope that's given you something to work with. Good luck to your daughter and safe travels to her. Right, we can squeeze in very quickly a last one. A WhatsApp from somebody who's looking to buy a double cab and saying, very difficult to make a decision. Top of the range Ford Ranger looks amazing, but it's 800,000 Rand. Is one really doing oneself in if you go for a cheaper model like a Mahindra or GWC?
I think that the more expensive buggies, the Ford Rangers and the Navaras, Isuzus, the sort of Japanese and American trucks, they're always going to give you a slightly better experience than the Chinese trucks in terms of the refinement, the comfort, the on-road comfort, perhaps the interior comfort as well. It's they do justify their price tag somewhat in giving you a superior. Or offering a superior experience. That being said, I think going for a cheaper Indian or Chinese bucky is not a bad option anymore. They're fairly bulletproof, particularly the Mahindras. I don't think I've ever heard a bad thing about a Mahindra. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that Mahindra is such a trusted brand in India. It's almost like a religion. And it's because they're built extremely robust to handle whatever the Indian road conditions can throw at them. Yep. And I've been to India, and trust me, it is worse than South Africa. I know it's hard to imagine, but the roads are genuinely worse. So, no, I don't think you can get too wrong. You are just going to have a more agricultural experience in something like a Mahindra compared to, say, a Ford Ranger.
Chiro, we have to leave it there. As always, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll chat again next week, Wednesday. Car Talk will be back in its usual time segment next Wednesday after 1:30. In the meantime, look for more of Chiro's writing on cars.co.za, and of course, check out their YouTube channel for lots of videos comparing different models.